Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
A very good morning, Adam Gilchrist. We start with the distressing news over the last 24 hours of that 7.8 magnitude earthquake, multiple aftershocks and reports this morning, around about 5 o'clock South African time. Another report of another, I think it's 5.3 magnitude earthquake in central Turkey. It is a race against time at the moment.
Yeah, those after tremors really make the rescue work especially dangerous, because partially collapsed buildings become totally collapsed and dangerous areas become even more dangerous. This time yesterday, it felt like a bad earthquake, death toll about 100. This morning, as we speak, death toll is about 4,500, or heading that way, certainly. But it's extraordinary how countries have mobilized to help. Already Iran and Iraq have both sent supplies, and they're not so far away, so they have arrived in Istanbul quickly. Two-thirds of the casualties in Turkey, one-third of the casualties in Syria. And Syria is a particular issue because a lot of the people affected already, in some cases, refugees or in camps or in bombed-out parts of Syria, which is still technically undergoing a civil war. The perfect storm in earthquake terms: strong tremors, shallow in the ground and in well-populated areas. Not the tourist parts of Turkey, but they're still well-populated areas. The search under the rubble has been heartbreaking. But, you know, the offers of help, whilst at the same time, you know, this earthquake is devastating, it's also galvanizing. 35 countries have offered help. The EU and NATO are mobilizing. Any number of aid organizations are sending teams out, hopefully under the auspices of the Turkish and Syrian authorities. Otherwise, they just turn up and they can't do much. But also extraordinary. I mean, this thing, of course, is developing still because of the perilous nature of the post-earthquake scene. Mm. But millions of people felt the tremors across Turkey and Syria, but also in Lebanon, Cyprus and Israel. And you look on your map and you go, wow, yeah, that really did hit hard. That did.
Reports of even tremors felt as far away as Cairo. But very important, as you mentioned, a galvanizing experience as well across geopolitical lines. Turkey is an important geopolitical player, especially when it becomes, it's the literal bridge between East and West in terms of the bridge over the Bosphorus. But then also Turkey, strong ally of Russia, but at the same time, a member of NATO. You have Joe Biden speaking on the phone yesterday with President Erdogan. We know that Erdogan has a positive relationship with Vladimir Putin. A very important moment amid a global geopolitical crisis largely centered around the Russian invasion of Ukraine.
You're right. It's a linchpin in all sorts of ways, isn't it, Turkey? And we were only talking the other day about their possibility of vetoing new members of NATO, Sweden in particular. But of course, this is about people, isn't it? And ultimately, that's what you want to see. You want to see borders melt away and legislation cease to be, because this is about people suffering instantly. And this isn't just an earthquake that's hit and then the after tremors and so forth. And as I heard an expert say yesterday, an after tremor is still an earthquake. So it's multiple earthquakes. But this is also now about winter. There are people trapped or homeless or just lost and confused and in the situation, roads closed, whatever. And the temperatures are low. They're below zero, and snow is falling. And it's exactly like we were saying with Ukraine. The compounding effect of winter is enormous.
Let's go to China and American relations. Just after F-22s shot down what China called a weather balloon, what the US called a surveillance balloon, there's apparently a second balloon. What is up?
Yes, two down. Was it 97 to go? The second balloon over Latin America, spotted over Colombia at one stage. I think it might have gone over the Caribbean now. I was actually just trying to check to see if anyone's got eyes on the balloon, but perhaps it's out of sight, but not out of mind. As you say, given the US jets shooting down a balloon at the end of last week, here we go again. The second balloon labeled a civilian airship by Beijing. It makes you wonder what they're doing. I mean, even if they are weather balloons, why is China suddenly so interested in North and South American weather? I mean, or just they were interested in Pacific weather and the balloons kept going. Mao Ning from China's foreign ministry says it's an isolated and accidental incident. Well, not isolated if you've got two, but anyway. But she also says, how's this for a quote? China has always abided by international laws and respected territorial integrity. Whereas, she says, the US has often violated international laws and invaded other countries. I don't think that helps. Mao Ning, I think you need to think again about your diplomacy, in my opinion, of course.
I think of big balloons traveling around the world, the story of Phineas Fogg. Then comes to mind from my childhood. But then there's some trouble in Manchester. I thought you'd mention this. Champions in trouble, Manchester City accused of financial shenanigans. An investigation by the FA into fair play funding models, you know, simply being tossed out of the window by our noisy neighbors there in Manchester. This could have wide-reaching ramifications, including titles retrospectively for teams who came second. That includes our team, Manchester United, and my good colleague here, Mario's team, Liverpool. Could have wide-reaching implications.
Yeah, hand those titles over to other clubs. I'm sure other clubs would be quite happy with that. But it is one of those things that there's a raft of financial measures that obviously businesses are meant to take, but football clubs specifically. Indeed, interestingly, there's meant to be a new law governing the ownership of football clubs. A review has taken place, but that has been shelved because, quote, the government is too busy. It has its hands full. I think the ongoing strikes in the UK might have something to do with that. But what that means is, therefore, we don't have clarification of ownership. What we are meant to have is clarification, at least, of the financial status of clubs. And Manchester City stand accused of 100 breaches, including a failure to disclose revenue, costs, wages, payments, contracts across a period of about 9 years. An independent commission is going to look at this further. But there's the if found guilty, ... And as you say, in this case, if found guilty, Manchester City could get fined and could get fined big time. I mean, something that actually makes a difference, not just, you know, $100,000 go away. They could get docked points this season or next season or multiple seasons. And clubs get docked points just for through no fault of their own going into administration for going bust. This is not through no fault of their own, or they could be forcibly relegated. Now, there are quite a lot of teams in the Premier League and the Championship who are going, hang on a moment, the door could open here. I'm pretty sure that City fans won't see it that way.
If worse comes to worse, Liverpool and Man United could share 3 titles each retrospectively over the period under review. Steven Gerrard, Slippy G, gets his 2014 championship medal. Remember the end of that season. And more in the immediate, in the present, City docks points. Arsenal loses 3 games. United has the title in the 2022-2023 season.
Oh, my friend, you're in dreamland somehow.
Adam Gilchrist, looking forward to chatting you tomorrow with The Worldview. Stay well, sir.